Lecture 10, The Neo-Orthodoxy of Samson Raphael Hirsch.
Our next goal is to consider the great rival and arch disputant with Geiger, Samson Raphael Hirsch. But before doing that, let's look for a second about what happens to Reform Judaism after Geiger, and essentially when these German Reformed Jews leave Germany and come to the United States, where they bring with them their own ideology and try to construct their own synagogues. What is quite interesting is that this Judaism for them is not Reformed Judaism, ED on the end, but really Reformed Judaism. When you say Reformed, it is really wrong. You should call it Reformed Judaism, meaning that Judaism has to continue to adapt and adjust and not simply be stuck in its tracks and unchanging and unyielding. In other words, having created a tradition of anti-tradition, the tradition itself, the new tradition, needs to be reformed and rethought of in a new context. In this sense, Reform Judaism in America is consistent with its real name. There are the same commitments to the notion of an inner and an outer core, as we said. There is the same commitment to social action. I mentioned the Social Action Center in Washington, D.C. And there is a commitment to gender equality, even more so in the case of feminism and the women's movement, which you will also hear about before this course is over. But clearly there are differences if one looks at American Reform Judaism, and I would not want to leave you with the impression that how I've described Geiger and his contemporaries is precisely what American Reform Judaism is today. Let me at least mention very quickly some of the changes. Clearly, what has emerged in recent years is a growing appreciation that ritual, ceremonial aspects of Judaism play a more important part to fulfill the emotional life of Jews. In other words, the initial reformers were quite radical about excising all of this from Judaism. But the later reformers realized that they needed to readjust. They need to rethink their strategy. The notion of celebrating the Sabbath, of performing more ritual, of lighting candles, of blessing the wine, of all of these things became more and more important. They provided some kind of emotional intensity that went along with the rationality of Reform Judaism. Similarly, the relationship to Hebrew, as you will hear later on, Zacharias Frankel, the founder of Conservative Judaism, left Reform Judaism initially over the issue of the place of Hebrew in the service. The reformers, he claimed, were going to change the whole service into German and leave nothing of that ancestral linguistic legacy. But Reform Judaism in recent years have introduced more and more Hebrew into the service. And similarly, initially, Reform Judaism, as we saw, was fully committed to living in the diaspora. With the creation of Zionism and the State of Israel, Reform Judaism, along with all the other branches of Judaism, became more Zionistic, more open, and appreciative of the centrality of Israel, the land of Israel, in modern Jewish consciousness. And finally, lo and behold, by the 20th century, very few Reformed Jews are going to speak to us about the mission of Israel. You know, it may sound like a great idea, the notion of Jews have a morality to give to the world and so on, but doesn't it smack arrogantly at the notion that Jews are better than other people? Jews have a big enough problem in straightening out their own moral act and getting themselves proper and correct and leading the moral life. They don't have to take on the burden of trying to somehow transform the whole world. Clearly, the messianic action of all of us, that is Jews, Christians, Muslims, atheists, everybody, will maybe bring about this perfect dream that all of us have of a better world. But clearly, it is not the sole responsibility of Jews, say American Reform Jews, to assume a leadership for all of Western civilization or all of world civilization. So the idea of the mission of Israel, which was a very attractive idea, and as you will see, Samson Raphael Hirsch even buys into it to a certain extent, it soon goes out of fashion. And essentially, Jews become more engaged in social activity, primarily to save their own souls, not the souls of everybody else. So now let us turn to consider the contemporary of Abraham Geiger and sort of expand our panorama of Jewish responses to modernity and to the challenge of living in this new social political world of the early 19th century.